Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the GTC first half results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 21st of August, 2014. I would like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mariusz Skolmowski. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the conference of first half of the year results. Today we have on the line Mr. Thomas Kurtzman, new CEO of GTC, Erez Boniel, CFO member of the board. My name is Mariusz Skolmowski. I'm member of the board. So we will present the results and later we'll take questions from you. Let me pass the stage now to Mr. Thomas Kurtzman.
Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Kurtzman, Chief Executive Officer of GTC. And I may present you the highlights and achievements of GTC for the first half of 2014. So we start with the reinforcement of capital structure by a capital increase of euro 53 million in January, the bond issue of euro 48 million in March, and the repayment of euro 104 million of bonds and related hedge instruments in April. We also are able to improve to report improvement in operating results. The underlying profit before tax raised to 11 million euro compared to 8 million in the period of last year. The rental margin was improved to 74% compared to 71% last year, and the cash generated from operation at 20 million, which is almost double than the same period the year before. Revaluation losses of euro 67 million due to devaluations of retail properties, mostly in Croatia and the regions of Romania, following a decrease in expected rent values and devaluation of long-term pipeline of land plots held for development due to market illiquidity in the regions where the land is located. We can report also positive signs in operations due to Pascal office building completed and fully leased. Is a 5,500 square meter office in Krakow. The Galeria Vilanov and Bolnozna projects are progressing according to the schedule. The leases for the two projects with various anchor tenants could be signed, and this proves the attraction of the projects to the customers. 59,000 square meter of new leases, lease extensions and renewals could be signed. This includes 29,000 of renewals in Budapest office, 9,000 leases for the two Galerias in Warsaw, another 8,000 square meter new leases in Poland, office 5,000 of renewals in Poland, and another 4,000 square meter of office lease in Serbia, Belgrade. So all in all, the operations are in line and working as they should. I pass over the word to Mariusz, giving a short overview on the markets we are working in.
Yes, let me start with the office market. The trends in the regional markets were kind of polarized. On the one hand, the markets that have been recently the strongest, Warsaw and Prague, are trending downwards due to strong upcoming pipeline of speculative supply. On the other hand, the markets that have been suffering last years, like Budapest, Bucharest and Belgrade, they show signs of improvement. And also, these trends are in line with the interest of GTC when we look for new developments and new deals. So in Q2 in Warsaw, there was 106,000 square meters delivered. The demand was relatively strong. 130,000 square meters was leased. 50% of it was new deals. However, the demand was lower than last year for the same period. Currently, what we see in Warsaw is a strong pipeline of new projects. Developers and investors got comfortable with a strong market in Warsaw, and they started many office buildings. Today, around 580,000 square meters of new buildings is under construction, and another 60,000 is under in old buildings under refurbishment. So this is very significant supply, and today the vacancy rate, which stands at 13.4%, I think, and this is the view of analysts, it may grow within next 2 years to even to 20%. This, of course, will put pressure on effective rents in the city. In Prague, the Q2 period marked the highest supply since the end of 2008. It was 73,000 square meters delivered. Demand was 61,000 square meters. However, more than 40% of that were negotiations of existing leases. There is 290,000 square meters of new office space under construction, which is, given the size of the market in Prague, quite a significant amount. And similarly to Warsaw, it will put pressure on effective rents and also on vacancy rate, which is already high at 14.6%. Budapest, we see there quite strong recovery in terms of demand. In Q2, the demand was more than 190,000 square meters, while there was only one building of 21,000 square meters delivered to the market. This brought vacancy level to the lowest number in last 5 years. Now it stands at 17.6. And we are looking at several investment opportunities in the Budapest market, as the market seems to be sustainably recovering. Bucharest in Q2 was quite balanced in terms of supply and demand. 50,000 square meters were leased and supplied. The average vacancy is stable at for close to 15%. However, it varies in the city quite significantly. Northern part, particularly in the area of Pipera district, it's 35% vacancy, while in most prestigious and popular districts among tenants, such as central and west western districts, in less than 10% the vacancy rate. So we have a possibility to build on our land next to City Gate over there in Bucharest, and also are looking for potentially acquisitions of existing buildings. Belgrade, it's a relatively shallow market. In the first half of the year, only one building of 5,000 square meters was delivered. In Q2, there was demand of 10,000 square meters. However, such a low supply brought the vacancy rate to only 8.3%. Not so long ago, it was more than 20, and the market was very slow. There is a low saturation in terms of office space. It's the total office stock in Belgrade is only 615,000 square meters, comparing, for example, to Warsaw, 4.3 million square meters. There is not so much potential supply. It's estimated for a total of 44,000 square meters. However, half of it is our project in Novi Belgrade called 41. Where we want to develop in phases office buildings. For the first one, we have significant pre-let and we're finalizing the loan agreement. Now moving to retail market. Traditionally, the strongest market is Poland. In Q2, three shopping centers were delivered with a total leasable area of 64,000 square meters. For the whole 2014, it's estimated that around 455,000 square meters will be delivered in new shopping centers. However, we see the trend of lower and lower average size of the malls, where developers are moving to develop convenience centers and retail parks of between 5 to 10,000 square meters. Our Galeria Jurajska shopping center in Częstochowa showed some positive trend with a 2% increase in footfall and 8% increase in turnover. However, the potential for increase in turnover is bigger because we have still 10% vacancy in the mall, which we are going to successfully lease in the coming months. The market in Prague was influenced by weak retail sales trends, as well as relative oversaturation of the city with retail space. Our mall Galeria Harfa was performing well in terms of footfall. It grew by 6%. However, the tenants' turnover declined by 10%. It's a matter of low purchasing power, a matter of competition with the newly opened mall, Cernimost. In Romania, there is still a big gap between secondary cities and Bucharest in terms of purchasing power and performance of the malls. Our Galeria Arad, the turnover of tenants increased by 8%. However, we don't think we have stabilized tenant mix yet, and also the structure, the existing structure of the leases that does not allow to translate this increase in turnover to increase in rental income. Now moving to Croatia. Croatia, small country, which is continuing to suffer from the economic slowdown, which is particularly visible in secondary cities, and we can see it in Osijek. In Avenue Mall Osijek, we currently don't have a food operator, supermarket. We don't have cinema operator. However, the income from other tenants is quite stable, and we hope that we'll be able to attract large tenants when the economic situation improves. In Zagreb, the most negative trend is the pressure on rents from the oversupply of shopping centers. Zagreb is probably the most oversaturated city in the whole Europe, I would say, in terms of shopping center. It's three times the European average, and we can feel it in our mall, although the mall is fully let and the footfall is stable. There is slight decrease in tenants turnover, and as I mentioned, very strong pressure on rents, which was reflected in this quarter valuations of Avenue Mall Zagreb. The best performing malls in GTC portfolio were in Bulgaria, and we can fully attribute it to the management team on the ground, which is very efficient and capable, because the economic situation in Bulgaria is difficult. We heard lately about the banking crisis. However, in our mall in Stara Zagora, we continue to turn around the performance, and in first half of the year, the footfall increased by 20%, and even bigger increase was in turnover, around 33%. Our mall in Burgas is probably one of the best looking and best performing malls in Bulgaria. Burgas is living off 10 tourists, which are coming from various countries, but mostly from Russia. This year, the season was a little bit slower because of the political tension in the region. However, the footfall in Burgas increased by 7%, and sales of our shops increased by 20%. So this is very good performance. In addition, we managed to adopt part of the space in the mall for office, and we have leased it to international outsourcing operator for a call center. This is 700 square meters. It's just additional income. Now I'm moving to investment market. This year is quite active. In the first half of the year, the total volume of transaction was 2.87 billion euros traded in the first half of the year. It's an increase of 63% comparing to the same period of last year. Traditionally, the largest market is Poland. It accounted for 50% of total volume of transactions. Second place went to Czech Republic, 25% of total volume. Next was Romania, 15%, then Hungary, 8%, and Slovakia, 2%. As I mentioned, half of the volume was in Poland, 1.4 billion euros, and the largest volume was in the warehouse sector. Traditionally, the highest volume was in office and the retail. Nowadays, the most popular target of investors is warehouse, and recently we see also a strong underlying demand with Amazon opening in Poland a huge distribution center. We see continuous flow of money due to global liquidity, and also investors are looking in less developed market, not only Poland, to Poland. They're looking at the improving market in Budapest and also Bucharest. So this would be market summary, and I'm passing over to Erez, who will talk about financials of this period.
I'll start with the portfolio overview. As can be seen, the total portfolio is 1.4 billion euro of value. Within that, we still have some residential activity, which is shrinking. However, 93% is focused on the commercial activity, office, and retail. And this is in line with the strategy of the company to focus on the portfolio, on the solid portfolio, and increasing the size or the element of cash-generating assets. Looking at the income-generating assets, 1.1 billion euro of value, 75% is located in Poland, Romania, and Hungary. These are the three main hubs of the company. Within that, Poland is about 50%, and the rest is in Hungary and Romania. That's also where the company aims to focus the further activity, adding value to the portfolio in the future. The portfolio valuation by sector was mostly affected by retail in Romania and Croatia. In Romania, we talk about Arad Mall, and in Croatia, Osijek Mall, as well as Avenue Mall Zagreb, that this time was affected by the revaluation as a result of competition and the situation, macro situation in Croatia. Regarding the occupancy, this occupancy is maintained at a relatively high level, 93% for the office, 91% for the retail sector. Altogether, it's a good occupancy as a result of the efforts done by the company to maintain the portfolio in a good level, and especially make sure that the cash-generating asset portfolio continue to generate cash at increasing levels. This can be well visible throughout the financial statements. In terms of the top properties, they are listed on the next page, and they account for something like 65% of the total portfolio. Financial highlights, Thomas mentioned some indicators. I would like just to reinforce it. Underlying profit before tax amounted to 11 million in the first half versus 19 million in 2013, or only 8 million in H1 2013. So that's a significant growth. The cash flow from operating activities as well significantly increased versus the past year. Moving ahead to the balance sheet, it can be seen that the amount of cash that GTC has is 90 million euro. This is as a result of sale of assets at the end of last year, as well as a capital raise and bonds raising that was done during Q1, Q2 this year. On top of that, we sold non-cash generating assets. The amount is approximately 10 million euro. We talk about one land in Kraków, called the Ogrody Galileo, designated for residential activity. Two plots in Constantin, in Warsaw. Also, these plots were not yielding any cash, and we managed to to get very good prices for them. We sold other parts of our residential activity. The total portfolio in Czech Republic was sold. Park project in Bratislava was sold. So altogether, again, execution of the strategy. And we are now at the next stage of that, considering the way forward regarding acquisition of added value projects. The revaluation breakdown, this time the revaluation amounted to 67 million. It seems from Romania and Croatia mostly, whereas in Bulgaria we started to see some kind of stability. In the past we used to have Stara Zagora and Burgas as the challenging assets. Nowadays, in terms of value, it is stabilized, the rent is stabilized, so most of the devaluation came from Croatia, I mentioned the two malls, and Romania. Zagreb mall, in terms of rent, is being stabilized right now, and the valuation reflected that. I'm on the page of debt and LTV. Over there it can be seen that the loan-to-value ratio has been improved in the last 6 months from 59% to 54%. This is after posting the devaluation. It means that despite the decrease in value, the deleveraging effect was much more significant in total, and therefore the loan-to-value of the company got lower than it was. Alongside with it, with the deleveraging, we of course also saved some interest payments, and this helped to improve the operation results. The debt and the maturity schedule, as can be seen at the bottom of page 19, we managed to restructure the debt so that most of the debt is deferred by 3 to 4 years. In the first column, the leftmost column, there is an amount of 53 million in gray. This is as a result of classification of loans, but there's no immediate need to pay these loans. It's a matter of accounting, as we had in the past. Gradually, we are improving the situation. We are moving towards clearer balance sheet, clearer situation regarding the loans. If to sum up, in the last 2 years, we managed to repay 200 million euro of loans. That's a significant achievement towards stabilization. We also managed to cut costs significantly, both in terms of operation, direct operation service cost, as well as other cost items. So what we do now is we are reinforcing the platform, making it much more solid, so that we can dwell on that and develop it with other assets in the future. In terms of income statement, here it can be seen how the rental margin has been improved from 71% H1 13 to 74% in H1 2014. This is mainly thanks to the cost that has been decreased. And while the remaining items were, I would say, as expected, controlled and at adequate level. Finally, regarding the cash flow highlights, I can say that the cash from operating activities is visibly higher than it used to be. 20 million were generated in H1 14. The investment in real estate focused on completion of Pascal building, that's another event that was mentioned earlier. Completion of Pascal, progress in acquisition of land of Białęka, and therefore this is relatively mild because the construction activity will start
most likely in 2015. The finance activity, as I mentioned, capital raise alongside with bonds refinance and altogether repayment of bonds in amount of 123 this year, totaling a net change of 15 million, plus the sale of assets that was completed at the end of the year. Cash was added here at the beginning of the year, 49 million. So totally we ended up with 90 million euro in cash at the beginning of H2 2014. Thank you very much for that. Operator, we will take questions. Operator?
Excuse me, sir. Yes, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel the request, please press the hash key. So that is star 1 to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Yakub Kaitan. Please ask your question.
Hello. Thanks for the presentation. This is Jakub from Wood. A number of questions from my side. First, I would start with the admin cost. Could you kind of clarify for me basically what moves this item, because it seems to me fairly volatile. And basically, what is driving this? Is there any more room for cuts, and to what levels would you foresee for the full year?
Sorry, you were heard badly. Could you repeat the beginning of the question?
Oh, excuse me. Is it better now?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Just basically, I was wondering about the administrative costs, and if you kindly could elaborate, basically, what's driving this item, because it's a quite steep upturn from the first quarter, but fairly stable basically year on year, the second quarter last year to this year. So basically, what's behind this, and where there is some room for further cuts, and where would you see this on roughly what level at the year end, the administrative costs?
Yes, the administrative cost, the name speaks for itself. These are our administrative costs to run the company. In Q2, we had one-off expenses related to the replacement of CEO. That's why you see certain jump, but generally this is under a declining trend. And that's why you see on overall basis that the level is good. Any further questions?
Yep. Just on the admin cost, in the first quarter it was something like 0.6 million euros. Do you think that something of this would be sustainable as a quarterly expense?
0.6 million. I don't know what's your reference. In the first quarter.
Oh, sorry. I meant, I looked at it's one nearly 2 million. So I was just wondering whether this would be. Sorry, I looked at the wrong line. Whether this would be sustainable going forward as a quarterly administrative expense.
The annual level is in the range of 10-11 million euro.
Right. Fair enough. Thanks. Also, could you give us a few words on Pascal? I mean, is the office up and running already? And if yes, do you account for it in the standing investments?
Yes, it's part of the investment property. The office is up and running.
All right, fair enough. And when exactly did it start contributing to revenues?
In May 2000.
All right, I see. Thank you. Also, I didn't quite understand this. You mentioned this debt column, which is in gray, the loans under negotiations. So this means that you basically don't have to repay this within the next 24 months? It's like rolling over?
It's a rolling over, yes. You can put it this way.
I see. I understand. Thank you. Then with regards to the estimated rental values, which you report, basically, on this is what the revaluation in majority were based. At both Romania and Croatia, on the retail properties, you can see that the estimated rent values are still higher than the actual current average rent in the respective countries. So I would just like to know what do you expect to drive the rents up? What should be the trigger? What should be the time frame? How do you view these markets?
Well, it's a very detailed question. I'm not sure in the short conversation I can answer, but maybe Marius, you could describe the trends in this market. So,
well, basically, it's in the secondary cities. It's difficult to maintain the stable tenant mix. So, the purchasing power also is quite volatile. And it's you have less international tenants in those malls. So for valuers, when they're looking at the rental values, it's more difficult to see the trend. Therefore, it varies from quarter to quarter. And actually, in particularly in Croatia, this year was quite difficult because of economic slowdown, because of slower tourist season, and because generally sentiment towards the country from retailers.
I see. I understand. Thank you. Then, with regards to the land devaluations, you mentioned the reason being basically a less liquid market. Two questions on that side, and sorry, I'm taking this long. Just I don't understand. First, how do you quantify that? How do the appraisers turn this into numbers? Then I would just like to confirm whether it was you or external appraisers that did the basic land revaluations. And lastly, basically, what was the trigger here? Because I just didn't notice any slowdown in liquidity, and you also mentioned basically the investment volumes are doing fairly well in the region. So just basically what triggered why now the devaluation?
First of all, yes, it was done by external valuers. Second, in terms of ERV, it is always a matter of mark to market. This is not an issue something happened this quarter or not. This is always a reference between the ERV that was set there before and the ERV that is set now. How do they choose that? How do they choose the numbers? There are many factors that influence their decision. Primarily, and the best way, is reliance on transaction. But if you notice in our financials, there are three levels of reliance. Did you have a chance to look at the note in the financials? If yes, or later on, please look. There are levels of reliance. And in our cases, some of the assets are located in cities where the reliance level, in other words, the market information that is available, is rather limited. And therefore, the reliance is at the level 2 or 3 and not 1, which is transaction related. So they have to rely on a lot of information that in many cases is indirect information, not necessarily direct. And when they collect all the information, they have to infer what will be the correct estimation as much as possible, or the right estimation. Always it's a range, but in the financials they have to put a number. So they put the number that they believe is the best fit for the situation, and they update it every 6 months based on reference to reality, to actual performance. They have to take into account market trends, but they also have to look at what happened actually in the center. So in many cases in our centers, there was no significant change. However, if leases are getting shorter, they have to account for that. If although nothing happened, and therefore the ERV part in the valuation is becoming more significant, meaning the renewal is becoming more closer than it used to be. All this is factored in. There is very sophisticated software, if you want to go to technicalities, very sophisticated software that they use. It's called Argus, and the software combines everything, and this is the result.
Sure, I said thank you very much for this answer. Just yes, basically with the land, if you value the land and there's no ERV, it's also basically marked to market, and then just basically the lack of liquidity and lack of transactions on this market kind of caused the, say, more cautious approach. Is that right way to read it?
Yes, the land again, it's done here on comparable basis in almost in all cases, and when they don't have in the immediate radius comparable, they increase the radius. And if they don't have at all, which is again the case in some of the cities, they have to put the best guess that they have. And to give you an example, a land in Ukraine, which today there is no periphery that is reasonably related to the land in Odessa, they had to put value which is, in their opinion, a reflection of the previous value less certain discount, because there is no other reference. You see, to make the valuation is a very big challenge. It's not an easy exercise.
Sure, indeed. I mean, I totally agree. Just trying to get slightly more insight into it. Just two more questions, please bear with me. Sorry, I'm taking this long. On the two Warsaw malls, how do they stand? When do you expect to get the building permits for Polnoshna, and how is the zoning at Vilanova going? And if you could say a few words on the other mall, where do you stand currently?
Well, with Białowieża, we basically are processing application for building permit. It was submitted to authorities, and they basically are in the process of looking through the documents, and we still hoping that the construction will start this year. We still have some land to be bought from Treasury, but it's not affecting the application for building permit process. As far as Vilanów, the process will be probably a little bit longer, but we're on the same track according to the schedule. Simply authorities are working on it, and it's not within our control. Most likely, Vilanów will start after Białowieża, after Galeria Północna, sorry. The response from tenants is very good, very positive. There is no new developments now starting in Warsaw, and the market is continues to be strong. As far as ADA Mall, we are still working on acquisition of remaining part of the land, which would make the mall complete. We could start the mall, but the design of the mall without this part of the land would be rather inferior. So we're waiting to finally consolidate this land, and then we'll have design for a fully fledged mall. But we don't expect it to happen, I think, this year, I mean, start of any construction.
Right, I see. Thank you. And my last question, just with regards to the previous year NAV, have you restated the NAVs along with the financials? Because basically last time in summer it was 2.4, and now basically it reads 2.2 per share.
The NAV is a reflection also of the new shares that were issued during Q1.
Right. Fair enough. And yeah, that's it. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time, sir.
If there is no further questions, thank you very much for attendance and goodbye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.